The Newar people have lived in the Kathmandu Valley of Nepal and surrounding areas for centuries. But the Newar language, also called Nepal Bhasha, was banned from 1846 until 1951. People caught speaking or writing it were put in prison or expelled. Use of the language declined through the 20th century. Some experts believe it could disappear in the next 30 or so years. That's why a group in Kathmandu is working to preserve the historic calligraphy of the Newars. Zanara Rathnayak has the story for us today. It's Thursday, May 7th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Matthew Bell. First, our curation of news briefs from writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Israel struck Beirut for the first time since agreeing to a ceasefire with Hezbollah last month. It said it targeted a commander of the militant group's elite Radwan force in the city's southern suburbs. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Israel Katz issued a statement on the strike. Israeli news reports say the commander was killed, but there was no immediate confirmation from the Israeli military or Hezbollah. The Lebanon ceasefire has underpinned a broader truce between the U.S. and Iran, with a halt to Israeli strikes in Lebanon being a key Iranian demand. Guatemala named a new attorney general after years of power struggles. President Bernardo Arevalo appointed lawyer Gabriel Estuardo Garcia Luna as Guatemala's top law enforcement official. The independent office has been rocked by corruption allegations in recent years. Outgoing Attorney General Consuelo Porras repeatedly tried to block Mr. Arevalo from taking office. She was sanctioned by dozens of countries, including the United States, for alleged corruption, illegally targeting human rights advocates, and trying to halt the president's anti-corruption plans. This is a time to learn from our history. Justice has all too often been a tool of revenge, Mr. Arevalo said. Also, a rare comet will light up southern skies over the next 2 weeks. The comet, known as C2025R3 Pan-STARRS, recently swung around the sun and is now visible from parts of the southern hemisphere, including New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa. Astronomers say viewers will need binoculars or a telescope to spot the glowing blue-green comet before it fades away again for another 170,000 years. Scientists believe it originated from a distant icy region beyond Pluto. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. A rise in teen takeovers is highlighting young people's need for safe spaces and connection. It's also prompting a shift from reactive policing to proactive engagement, including more teen-focused, supervised third spaces in communities. Patrick Johnson reports from Tybee Island, Georgia, for The Monitor. Ahead of President Donald Trump's expected visit in Beijing with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, longtime American allies in Europe and Asia remain on edge about the strength of their partnerships with the United States. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. Polls show school districts nationwide struggle with late buses. In Boston, parents and local officials are pressing for accountability. Cameron Pugh reports from Boston for The Monitor. Some research estimates that the Nepal Bhasha language could be lost in 30 to 40 years. An organization called Kali Jatra hosts calligraphy workshops most Saturdays across the Kathmandu Valley to preserve and promote Nepal Bhasha and its writing systems. Contributor Zanara Rathnayake reports from Kathmandu, Nepal, for The Monitor. Sudan's civil war has displaced some 14 million people. Hidden in that statistic are countless interrupted love stories. Contributor Sophie Neiman reports from Tobo County, Sudan, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a push for patient capital over easy money. Back in 2018, during his first term as president, Donald Trump called for a curb on a federal requirement that publicly traded firms report their performance every 3 months. The idea is to nudge both investors and corporations toward longer-term perspectives and focus less on a fluctuating stock price. This week, the Securities and Exchange Commission, known as the SEC, unveiled a plan that will allow such companies to provide reports every 6 months. In the intervening 8 years, ever faster algorithms have enabled warp speed stock trading, inflating shareholder impatience, and expectations of instantaneous information and returns. In 2021, a Cornell University study confirmed that firms were actually becoming more short-term oriented across the market, a trend linked to the growing demand for more data and short-term projections for the investing public and markets. The relative flexibility offered by this rule change will likely save time and repeated effort for the managers and accountants who put together the SEC-mandated reports. Beyond that, the change is a small but key step that can support sustained investment choices and also encourage privately held companies to consider going public. More companies are choosing to remain private or returning to private ownership rather than face mounting regulatory burdens and costs associated with being publicly traded, according to a 2025 report issued by NASDAQ. The document noted a 36% decline in the number of publicly listed companies since 2000, while firms funded with private capital grew by 475% in the same period. Public capital markets have been described as an engine of economic growth, and their expansion widens opportunities for ordinary Americans to obtain a stake in the country's economic success through retirement plans and other investments. Business titans such as Warren Buffett and J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon have long advocated for patient, value-focused investment and growth approaches that benefit both business and society more generally. The practice of quarterly projections, they warned in the Wall Street Journal in 2018, leads to an unhealthy focus on short-term profits at the expense of long-term strategy, growth, and sustainability. Such short-termism undermines investment in research and development, new equipment or technology, and staff upskilling. These are inputs that spur both innovation and productivity, even if they do not generate immediate shareholder returns. Building resilience to the risks of tomorrow requires time spent learning, thinking, and strategizing, as the Kenan Institute for Private Enterprise at the University of North Carolina has noted. And those processes require America's corporate decision makers and shareholding public to pursue a measured approach to wealth building that values broad societal benefits over mere stock market speculation. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how instead of identifying ourselves as fallen descendants of Adam and Eve, we can understand our real identity as God's spiritual likeness and find freedom and healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Tim Malone. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.